We're going to go behind the scenes of a booming profession.
From the years 2000 to 2012, in spite of a global recession, the number of billionaires in the United States doubled, and the number of people with at least $50 million in wealth has grown to almost 50,000.
The economic prosperity of the super rich has spawned growth in numerous service jobs, including what's called private service. That refers to butlers, housekeepers, estate managers, chefs. While servants like those in Downton Abbey may seem to be a thing of the past, turns out they're not.
And in order to get a better sense of what these jobs and what the training for these jobs are actually like, one journalist went undercover and enrolled in America's most prestigious butler school. John Davidson is here with us to share the inner workings of this growing profession. He is the author of The Long Road North, and his latest book is The Obedient Assassin. His article in the January issue of Harper's is You Rang? Mastering the Art of Serving the Rich. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Gene, how are you?
I am great. I want to start out, in the introduction, we said that you went undercover, but, you know, when I read the article, I couldn't tell whether you actually went undercover or whether you actually enrolled at this with the idea that you might wind up working in the profession someday.
It was sort of a matter of both. I did go undercover. And I did think that I might end up doing going into service. I had spent about 10 years writing a novel and had gone through a lot of money and sold a house, and my agent hadn't been able to sell it. So I'd always been interested as a journalist in the relationship between servants and masters and how it worked. But by the time I started this, I realized that if I was offered one of these jobs, one of these six-figure jobs, that I might need to take it, or that I would take it. And as it turned out, that did not happen.
Yeah, and we will follow the arc of your story as the half hour progresses here. But I got to say, before I read your article, this is one of those things that I'd never given a second thought to. It had never occurred to me. I guess, you know, somewhere intellectually, I knew that the super rich had to have some help of some kind. But it never occurred to me that there is so much of it out there, so much so that you need training for it. And that, tell us a little bit about what the market looks like right now and what that industry, if you can call it that, looks like.
Well, it's most of the industry is somewhat under the radar. And the Department of Labor does not track butlers or chefs or house managers, but everyone who's in the industry says it's a growing industry, it's booming. On both in California and in New York, there are many placement agencies, and all they do is place servants, or, you know, private service people. And but it's hard to say exactly how big it is. There's now an organization called the Domestic Estate Managers Association, and they have about 2,000 members, and but nobody knows exactly how big it is. But it's growing, apparently.
So let's start back with your story, and let's start where you started, at the Starkey International Institute, which sounds pretty impressive, but what's it like, really?
Well, it's an old mansion. It's an Edwardian mansion in downtown Denver. It's close to the state capitol. It's about two blocks off of Colfax, which is sort of Skid Row in Denver. And it's a step back in time. And I was surprised that the program is as it seemed as Victorian as it did. The students live in the mansion, and there were 12 of us to begin with. There was a one-week course, and then there's an eight-week course. I was there for 8 weeks. And we act as the servants, and we run the house, and we do rotations so that over the course of 8 weeks, we're trained in you know, these different jobs, how to run the kitchen or how to be the house manager, that sort of thing. The woman, Mrs. Starkey, who started the school, she acts as a principal. And
what's the principal?
And the principal is the missus or the madam or the employer.
There you go.
And so she is the lady of the house. And as the students, we had to use the back stairs. We had to dress basically in uniform the entire time we were there. We couldn't use the front door. We couldn't come or go by the front door. We called everybody Mr. and Mrs. We were all called Mr. And so it was very much like it was very much the way I would imagine a Victorian household would have been. And so it seemed pretty authentic to me.
And what were the other students like? Because it seems to me it takes a particular kind of personality to sort of work in these types of jobs, to work for very wealthy people and sort of always be on call and always be on, you know, be perfect.
You're absolutely right. One of the things we did in the school, one of the exercises we did was to try and identify the source. We talked a lot about what they referred to as the service heart, and this is the desire or willingness to serve, or the eagerness to serve. And you have to be ready to get on somebody else's agenda and sort of submerge yourself in somebody else's life. The students were, for the most part, they had some university education. They were a more impressive group than I expected. A lot of them had very good experience. One had been an assistant estate manager. A couple had cooking backgrounds, but they were just, you know, they were pretty regular people, and they were sort of who you might meet at a dinner party.
But even though you talk about the service heart, there was the promise of a pretty good job after school, and you guys had to pay for the privilege, and pretty handsomely, I might say, to attend this institute. But then at the end of it, there was a pretty good, maybe even a six-figure salary waiting on the other end.
Well, that's what...
That's the theory anyway.
That was a theory. That's what we went in thinking. Yes, the tuition was, if you lived in the mansion, it was, you paid for room and board. And that came to almost $17,000. And so, yes, that's a lot of money. And the Starkey advertises a placement rate of 95%. But after we got there, then what we started hearing from the staff was, well, a third of the students get placed from the program on finishing the program. A third get placed by the end of the first year, and a third decide that they aren't really suited for private service. And three people out of my group, out of the 10, had jobs at the end of the program, and which would be what they, you know, what they predicted. And I'm not sure, I think perhaps seven or eight have ended up in private service. But sometimes, since writing the story, I heard from a woman who was in another class, and there were only four students, and no one in that class got jobs. What I discovered, and what this other woman said she discovered, was that what people really want, what the super wealthy really want, is someone who has experience. And one of the key questions is, have you worked in the home? And if you haven't, then it's having a certification doesn't necessarily get you a job.
We're talking with John Davidson about his article, You Rang, Mastering the Art of Serving the Rich. And we're going to be continuing that discussion in just a moment.
And you can join if you have questions or if you have done this work. If you've been a butler or other private service profession that we've been talking about or gone through one of these training programs, love to hear from you. We're at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
We're back with John Davidson. He is a journalist and author of a number of books, including The Long Road North. But we are talking with him this half hour about his article just published in the newest edition of Harper's, You Rang, Mastering the Art of Serving the Rich, about his time learning to be a butler, I guess you would call it. And John Davidson, I want to talk about that training a little bit. You know, when I was reading the article, I just had this vision of, I think it was Anthony Hopkins in Remains of the Day, if you remember that movie. And he was always so formal, and he was just always on, and the house was just so much of him. And I'm wondering, how do you train for something like that? And when you wound up at the Starkey Institute, where did they start with you, and where did you wind up? Because you had, I guess I would call it a series of ups and downs.
that's true. The focus at the school has shifted somewhat from training butlers. There were a couple of people there who, on the staff, there was a man there who had worked as a butler. There was another man who came through and was working as a butler. Butlers are pretty much for show, and if you have a butler, that means occasionally they're referred to as eye servants. It's
like eye butlers, candy.
Yeah, exactly. Butlers open doors. Butlers are there for to be seen, and so a lot of it is appearance, and then there is part of it. I mean, at one point we were trained in how to as a butler, how do you help somebody in and out of a car? How do you hold a door properly? And what is tricky about being a butler and service in general is to be able to serve and to be there, but to be unobtrusive and if possible, almost invisible, which is contradicts what I just said about being an eye servant. But you don't want to be noticed too much. You want to be, and a lot of it is demeanor. A lot of it is, as I understand, playing a role. And if you've seen Butler, if you've seen Anthony Hopkins, then you might model yourself after Anthony Hopkins. And you know, part of it is dress too, how one dresses.
But a lot of it is also sort of manners, how you present yourself, how you speak to the principals, how you interact with them. I mean, there is an awfully lot to learn, but a lot of it really does come back to making the help sort of be invisible and making the house sort of run itself.
Mm-hmm. Or make it appear to run itself.
Yeah.
And yes, traditionally in England, there were always servants who were considered back of the house, and then there were the servants who, the butler, the footmen, who are there for show. But we did things like we had exercises in how to make introductions. We were trained in table setting. We had to set tables, and then in service, we put on these two formal dinner parties that were very complicated, and they were 9-course dinner parties. There were 12 people at the table, and we were trained in something that is known as mirrored service, which means that all of it's choreographed. All of the servers move at the same time and do the same things at the same time, and it's like doing a little dance over the course of a 3-hour dinner party. And so that's, I would say, that may have been the most intensive training in service. And then part of it was practical. We did all of these jobs, and we served each other, and we also, at these parties, we poured coffee and passed desserts around and opened the door and met people's cars and that sort of thing. So a lot of practical experience.
But then a lot of other mental experience, too. I mean, you had to write a family tree. You had to write out service visions and all sorts of other activities like that. And at one point, Mrs. Starkey, I think, said that 60% of the training that you were going to receiving was psychological. So what was she talking about there?
I think that idea is, I think it's might come from the Marines, perhaps.
Mrs. Starkey and the Marines, or?
Well, you know, a lot of people in the military go through this program and have gone through it and do very well at it because they are accustomed to taking orders. But I think the theory was you're broken down and then you're recreated in as a private service professional. And yes, but in the beginning, it's called Starkey Household Management Software, and it's this very complicated program, and which we learned how to use, and then we wrote what were our books, which were our service. It was our either imaginary or real house where we wanted to work, and so one of the things you do is, if you're in service, you need to know everything about the people you work for, and eventually you do, but down to, we talked about flavor profiles, and does the Mr. like chocolate, does the Mrs. like red wine, what are their allergies, what are their food allergies, and then we would do family trees for the family, where they came from, what cultural, what civic organizations they belong to, what their education was, that sort of thing. And if you run a house like this, eventually you do end up creating a very large document. And a lot of it is, you know, when Uncle Joe comes, does he drink scotch or does he drink bourbon? And then a lot of it is, has to do with the warranties and the service manuals for all of the appliances and all of the in the house. So yeah, it's quite complicated.
And as you got into it, you talked about, you know, the idea of being broken down. You had some pretty rough moments where you didn't think you could do anything right. It was kind of a success at the end. But tell us about some of those dark days there. Because there are people listening here who are thinking, well, how hard can it be? You know, you're dusting, you're chopping onions in the kitchen, you're cleaning the bathroom. You know, we've all done that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the work, and I have done all of that and pretty well at it, at doing it. But a lot of it was being willing to subordinate oneself to this system. And when I got there, I didn't realize that we were going to actually act as servants all of the way through. And I didn't realize that it was going to be that that one would need to be that submissive. And I think I clearly was not suited to it, and in terms of taking orders, and so I bridled, and I was surprised at the other students that everyone would knuckle under as much as they did. And we were told that we were being trained to be professionals, but we were being treated as servants.
We've got a caller who would like to join the discussion. Let's go to Milwaukee now, and Deborah is with us. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, my father was a butler. He's died in 97, but he worked for a family in Dallas, and then I ended up meeting the family he worked for when I was a little girl, because they had a home on Lake Superior in the Upper Peninsula at Huron Mountain Club, which was Henry Ford's old cabin. And it was huge. It was not like your little cabin, but so I remember that, and then that's how my dad met my mom, because she worked at Huron Mountain Club in the kitchen, and then I ended up being a nanny after I graduated from high school in 1975. I worked for many wealthy families for 15 years in in Westchester County, New York. I worked for the president of Ragu in Connecticut and in Dallas, and I highly recommend the nanny profession for young girls out of high school who aren't sure what they want to do, because it was just delightful. It was just a wonderful experience. I can't tell you how impressionable the whole experience was for me. It's like a bag full of memories.
Deborah, thanks so much for the call. And John Davidson, in listening to that family connection there, that's kind of what I think of when I think of the service industry like this. You know, that you sort of have to have an in, and you alluded to that earlier in the discussion when you said they're looking for people who've worked in a house like this.
That's right. And I think being a nanny, starting as a nanny, is a very good way to get started in private service. And a lot of people who become house managers or estate managers start as a nanny, and they're part of the family. The family trusts them. They know about the family. So it's sort of an organic evolution. And I think as a rule, that's how people get started with a family. It's not necessarily as a nanny, but they might be somebody who works in the family office, or they might be somebody, a waiter at the country club that they're fond of, that they've gotten to know. And they're looking for somebody who's familiar.
Well, John Davidson, we are out of time, but thanks so much for joining us this half hour.
My pleasure, Gene.
John Davidson has been with us. He is author of The Long Road North and The Obedient Assassin. We've been talking with him about his article in Harper's this month, You Rang, Mastering the Art of Serving the Rich. And you can find out what happens to him if you read it.